Tested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
During the festive season, many of us were catching flights and not feelings. And perhaps you might have caught a flight with Fly Safair. One key concern, though, that was brought to the fore by many consumers, particularly on social media, was the concern of overbooking of flights. So far, there's been a few developments. Not only has Fly Safair said that it is open to an investigation by the National Consumer Commission, but has also called for this kind of investigation to be an industry-wide investigation and interpretation of the law. But to tell us more from Fly Safair is the Chief Marketing Officer. His voice might sound familiar to you. If ever you've been on a Fly Safair flight, you most likely would have heard his voice thanking you for flying with them. Kirby Gordon, good evening and welcome, sir.
Good evening. Thank you so much. I'm glad my voice is familiar and not my face. I think it makes it a lot easier to walk through the streets.
I can imagine a lot of us would be saying, just give me a discount on my flight. But it's been a busy start and end to the year for you and with many dynamics. And there's a twofold conversation I'd like to have, not only with regard to the investigation by the NCC, but also concerns around the ownership structure of the business. But let's start with the theme around overbooking. Is this something that Fly Safair does?
Yes, it is. It's a very common industry practice across aviation around the world. Obviously, one of the things that we need to do to build into our model, and particularly in the low-cost game, is this notion of breakage. And airlines achieve that through various different means. We can achieve breakage through no-shows. We can achieve it through overbookings. We can achieve it through things like change penalties, etc.
And just for clarity, breakage, does that mean, you know, breaking even or...
No. So breakage is a concept in business which speaks to a sort of non-redemption, if you like. So, for example, a gymnasium will sell more memberships than they have, say, treadmills, with the understanding that, you know, the likes of myself might spend more time on the couch than on the treadmill and just allay some guilt by virtue of having the membership rather than being there. So it's an important concept that is utilized in order to be able to actually find the financial means to run the business effectively, which is imperative, especially when you have such low, such thin margin.
Mm-hmm. I'm keen for us to discuss, as you've mentioned, you know, this is to cover breakage, but from the consumer perspective, many regard it as being unfair. Is this something that is openly communicated to consumers when actually booking flights?
Yes, it is. We're very, very frontal about it in our terms and conditions. It has its own section entirely which deals with it. It's a difficult thing to get your head around, because obviously if you are in the situation where you are bounced from a flight because it's been overbooked, it's evidently not a great experience to have. But the reality is that the net effect of it allows for us to offer flights at a better price, and equally to also allow a lot more leniency to passengers who do tend to miss their flights, because the fact that we are allowed to put somebody else onto an empty seat allows us the opportunity to be able to pay for that seat and therefore give them greater leniency when they do genuinely miss their flights. It's a common practice in a lot of industries. We see it in car rental, we see it in aviation, we see it in hotels. And it's something that certainly is catered for within the remits of the Consumer Protection Act.
Is there a percentage or margin as to how much you overbook the flights by?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And that's a very important part of this. So the Consumer Protection Act actually outlines this quite specifically to say that you can't sell a service in the future if you have no reasonable belief that you will be able to fulfill it. So in the example of the tweet that set this all off, I think the individual said, you know, we could sell 300 seats on a flight that we only have 200 seats available on. And that would never fly, no pun intended, because the reality is that you would never be able to actually achieve, you know, giving everybody a seat. But the reality is when we face a situation where we know we're going to have an average no-show on a flight of, say, three or four people, overselling by one or two seats still means that you have a very, very strong realization that you'd be able to get people onto those seats.
So is this confirmation and an understanding that you typically overbook flights only by one or two seats?
Correct. Yes, absolutely. So it amounts to less than 1%. And it depends entirely on the flight, you know, what the no-show rates are like on that flight. And then we make certain other, you know, allowances for things like the last flight of the day, et cetera, et cetera.
I'm keen to understand, we have yet to engage with the NCC here, Kirby, but there are headlines going around saying that this is non-compliant, though you say it's an industry-wide practice. Help us contextualize how this does apply to consumer regulation in South Africa.
I don't think that there is a finding of non-compliance. Certainly, if the NCC has gone through the process of issuing a non-compliance, they've done so without a fair trial, so to speak. The reality is that the deadlines that we have for submission of the various facts that are requisite to this has not even yet been met. So they've not actually had opportunity to digest any of the information. So I think any call that this is non-compliant would be very premature.
Got you. I'm keen to understand, in terms of overbooking, as you've mentioned, it's standard practice and something that will likely continue, much to the disgruntlement of many travellers, I can imagine. But help us understand how you manage this in high season traffic, specifically the festive season. The Cape Town-Johannesburg route is going to be incredibly busy during February because there's a state of the nation, there's the mining in Durban, there's the budget speech, conferences galore. How is this effectively managed by yourself as an organisation and communicated to customers?
Yes, I mean, it is an important part and it does come to the fore when flights are busy. Obviously, it's not necessarily a challenge that one faces when there are additional seats anyway. And I hope that your predictions are accurate and that February is that busy. That'll be wonderful. The reality is that what we do is when a person is on a flight that is overbooked, we, and again, this is led very carefully by the Consumer Protection Act, we immediately compensate them to the value of R1,000 per person per flight. And then we find them a seat on the next available flight. So that can be on one of our flights or it can be through a reprotection agreement that we have with some of our competitor airlines. And we literally 99.9996% of the time get those individuals away without much concern within a very short period of time.
Mm-hmm. I'm also keen to understand there was another incident that took place towards the end of last year that impacted all airlines, which was the significant shortage of jet fuel at OR Tambo International Airport specifically. And that raised a lot of concerns from individuals who might have been traveling for business or connecting flights internationally or to other locations. If there is a process to actually redeem a refund or some kind of recourse for having missed these flights and the economic cost that it might have come with. Is there a process that exists with flights specifically regarding this?
So I'm not sure I'm entirely understanding. So the availability of jet fuel, there was an issue toward the end of last year where there were some technical issues at OR Tambo. They lost jet fuel for the day entirely as a result of technical failure on the air side. Obviously, that's got something more to do with the airport environment than it does with us per se. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the refundability on our tickets, if a passenger chooses to cancel a ticket, they are refundable to voucher with a small penalty depending on the type of fare you have. As long as you do so 24 hours before the flight departs. If you miss your flight and arrive at the Fly Safe counters within an hour before the aircraft or after the aircraft has departed, we generally then have these leniencies to be able to allow you onto another flight. Minimal fees might apply depending on your fare type again. But if you entirely forfeit your flight, you don't arrive and the flight departs without you, then that is a forfeited ticket.
Got you. To close off with, though, Kirby, let's touch on ownership. I do see that there's a trending article on MoneyWeb that speaks to concerns around the 75% ownership that is held in Ireland, and this raising some concerns around ownership and control within the South African environment. What conversations have you had with the Department of Transport regarding this dynamic, and is everything in order?
Yes, sure. So I think to give a little bit of context to it, this has arisen as a result of some complaints that have been lobbied by the Air Services Licensing Council, mm-hmm. which ultimately reports into the Department of Transport. There were complaints that were levied by Airlink and by Lyft, our competitors, and they're questioning these nationality provisions. The question is not really around ownership. It's around what they call voting rights, mm-hmm. And voting rights and ownership don't necessarily correlate depending on the vehicle in which a firm is held. What's transpired most recently, though, is a decision that has been shared by the Domestic Licensing Council to indicate that they believe that FlySafair is non-compliant with the provisions of this, not so much because the trustees that vote on a trust and manage the voting rights in FlySafair are not South African, they are, but rather because they believe that a airline may not be owned by anyone other than a natural person. And this finding specifically has very, very strong ramifications for the rest of the industry, because effectively all airlines are owned either by companies or trusts in South Africa, yeah. with the stark exception of the complainant Lyft, which is owned by an individual. So the potential ramifications of this decision are intense.
Got you. Kirby, it's always a pleasure speaking to you. It's going to be interesting to see how the conversations go with the NCC, but I'm assuming that we have it on record that you will engage the National Consumer Commission as well with regard to our initial conversation of overbooking.
We absolutely have. So we're in that process admittedly. We're busy compiling our responses to them. And yes, I'm sure that this will be an ongoing conversation.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your time this evening. Next time somebody gets bumped off a flight, I think we'll call you and say, help us out. Yeah, yeah. But makes sense. Thank you again for availing yourself and providing some perspective on this.
Thank you. No worries. Anytime.
That's Kirby Gordon, the Chief Marketing Officer at FlySafair, helping us get clarity on the concerns related to overbooking on flights. Does it seem fair to us as consumers? Of course not. But as we've heard, it is part of a process that does exist in multiple areas right across the airlines as well to make sure that they find a level of covering breakage. It will be interesting, though, to see how the Consumer Commission in South Africa does engage with the organization, the industry at large, and maybe prioritize us as consumers going forward. Share your views with us. 063-688-0959. We're here to give you the facts. How you interpret it is always welcome.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.